real quick, you want to tell me about your character and the story?
Well, it's my character's CIA agent Hanley, and I'm basically pull Pierce's character, Peter Devereaux, out of retirement to help with a CIA mission that involves his wife, who had gone undercover, and they had since parted ways, but I kind of use her as a lure to get him back into the business, because I need him. And the fun ensues. It's the Americans against the Russians, once again.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Do you do...
it's fun.
Yeah? Do you do a lot of backstory for your characters?
Well, I read the book, Against All Spies, which this one is loosely based on, and it gave me an insight into... you know, the world of that they were in as friends, Devereaux and Hanley, and my boss, who at CIA, played by Will Patton, is we were all in the service together way back. So, you know, the book helped define that world for me a little bit, and kind of what Hanley was about, and what maybe, you know, a little bit about his flaws, and a little about what makes him run, but the script itself told me everything I needed to know. I think I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It was probably the best experience I've ever had on a film in my career.
Oh wow!
And yeah, it the film, the experience, the working with Pierce, the character, working with Roger again after doing 13 days with him was a delight, and I loved working in Serbia. Maybe it's my Eastern European blood, but I just had a great time. Just a great time.
How do you like working on location?
I love it. I do love it. When my wife can visit. But no, I like locations. They lend an air of adventure to the whole thing, whether it be personally or professionally, and always new things to look at. It's refreshing to go on location, but you know, for films, you know, when you're doing a television show and you've got to work these long hours and long days and it's a long season, I'd rather be working at home.
I would think doing like a TV show away from home would just be, although it would be
very
great
tough.
Fun, but yeah, it would just be like dragging, like you would, I would think I would start to, you know, yeah.
It gets that way sometimes, but... it depends on how the, you know, if I was making Breaking Bad in Arizona, in New Mexico, it wouldn't be so bad. You know, it's not bad at all. That's a great show.
It's true, yeah. It's a quick flight, so yeah.
Yeah, right.
I can understand why this you enjoyed it so much. Really great cast, too.
Yeah, great cast. Great cast, international cast and crew, and gee, we must have about 12 countries represented on this.
Wow.
It was fabulous. Yeah, it's terrific. It was absolutely great. And Yugoslavian filmmakers have a rich history. You know, former Yugoslavia, you know, although they were telling them basically what to make, they were making a lot of films. And they were making great. In fact, we had three generations of Yugoslavian filmmakers on our set. And it was pretty cool.
Do you still have to audition for things? I would imagine not, because like every sort of director and casting director worth anything knows who the heck you are.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't for this, and I don't so much anymore unless I really want to fight for something, or it's something that I, you know, I just want to take a stab at. But no, not lately. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. As I've gotten older, things have gotten better in a lot of ways, you know. And I think I've learned a hell of a lot in the past 30 years, so feel pretty comfortable right now with, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm going, and where I've been. I mean, you know, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I can imagine. Man, you've just had such a great, wonderful, terrific career.
Well, thank you.
And by the way,
continuing beautifully.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, thank you for doing this with me. It's
my pleasure.
I'm almost used the word tickled, but I'm extremely ecstatic to talk to you.
Great.
Did you have a time when you like were just completely nervous auditioning?
Oh yeah, I mean auditioning is not something I like to do, but it's auditioning is pretty informative for everybody, including the actor. And it's not, if you can get rid of all those nerves and approach it with confidence, you can, and rather than thinking about the job and the the booking and thinking more about what's happening in the room, you're better off. I wish they could teach a course in confidence at in college, in acting classes. I think that would be a wonderful thing to teach, but that requires more than just teaching. It requires doing and experiencing it and living it. And then, I think strong confidence, not just false confidence, but feeling like, you can still be available and confident at the same time. You don't have to be a jerk to be confident.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've read a bunch of stories on you getting prepared for this, and you have this, you've told a story about like your first audition and how you where you auditioned for, you thought it was Lenny, but and just the right. Just the joy and happiness that came from those stories, that story.
Yeah.
Could you just kind of repeat that, because I read it like full twice and just
it was fun. It was I was screwing around with acting when I was in college and just having fun. And I was a big stand-up comedian fan. I loved George Carlin, Bill Cosby, listened to him all the time, George and Bill and Rusty Warren and Red Fox and all those people, and Lenny Bruce, of course. So somebody said, hey, you ought to go down and audition for Lenny. And I thought they meant Lenny Bruce because it was on Broadway at the time, and little did I know that, that's not going to happen. So, I went down there, and they had me of Mice and Men, and I never read it, and I went down to the end of the hall and found a quiet place to sit down and read the script, and it was the first time I'd ever wept at a piece of literature in my life, and it profoundly moved me, I can honestly say it was an epiphany. I mean, I had the character just exploded in my head, and kind of knew what was going on, and felt like I really had a handle on this guy, and I went in full, all the guns loaded, and they had a guest director who ultimately had an influence in my life. His name was Al Pia, and he was an acting teacher at a high school, but he had a community theater, Sterling Barn Theater, that Morris Karnofsky worked and performed at, and I got a chance to meet him and Al, and so I go into the audition, and they tell me, well, they're going to do the scene where Lenny breaks Curly's wife's neck, and he's stroking her hair in the barn, and she gets a little flirtatious, and he gets out of control, and it happens, and I did it, and they... I didn't know it at the time, but man, I was deeply into this character at the time, and then I heard this laughter, and they were laughing, and I stopped, and I got very indignant and really emotional, and I said, "You're laughing? You're laughing at this character? If you're laughing at this character, you should not be directing this play." And I was really indignant. I was emotional. And they said, no, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing because we found our Lenny. Oh. And I just lost it. I just was so... And Al taught me all kinds of things about how to break down a script, how to take stage, how to give stage, how to, all the things that I needed to know and still carry with me to this day about breaking down a script or looking at a play and, uncovering, peeling away the onion, if you will. And it was just a great experience for me, and I'll always remember that moment. It was a moment my mother got a chance to see me, and they gave me the best actor award that year, and I wasn't even in the theater department. So and it was a big kind of a big to do. And we took the play to Al's Theater in Stamford, and it ran for I guess about a month and a half there. And you know, it was just the beginning of an experience that kind of cemented my desire, what I was going to do with my life, you know. And then a couple of years later, I got an offer to go and audition for the master's program at Smith College for Master of Fine Arts program, which was co-educational at that point. It was the second year of the master's program, opening it up to the male. So I went and I got 2 years scholarship and a stipend and got my MFA and met some more wonderful people and started a theater company with some other friends of mine there, and stayed in Northampton for 3 or 4 more years, and we moved one of our plays to New York, and I said, oh, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it 10 years. If nothing happens in 10 years, I'll go back to restaurants. So about 2 years later, or less than, well, actually less, and then I met through my acting teacher, Jack Garfine, who used to work with Harold Klorman and the Actor Studio, and he gave me an audition for Arthur Miller's new play called The American Clock, and I got a chance to audition for Arthur Miller and Dan Sullivan,
wow,
who I've worked with a couple of times since then, and they gave me the understudy role and assistant stage manager and got my equity card.
Nice.
And went on the world premiere. The lead actor couldn't go on for the second, third, and fourth performance of the world premiere, and I went on the lead for 3 shows, and it was just fantastic. Standing ovations every night, you know, and I really kind of saved the day kind of thing, you know, and was one of those stories. And I went back to New York, and you know, word kind of travels when you're in those circles, and I started booking things, and it was the kind of the beginning of my career then, and I couldn't have started it any better than with Arthur and Dan, but particularly Arthur, who's been an idol of mine forever, and since then I've had the pleasure of knowing him and having dinner with him, and with Bill Styron and Pete Gurney, actually, when I ended up doing a play, A.R. Gurney play that Dan directed. We brought it to Lincoln Center in New York, and from Williamstown Theater Festival, and remember Pete invited me to his house in the country for the weekend, and he said, Bill, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to invite a couple of friends over for dinner. Arthur, of course, you know, and his wife Inga, and Bill Styron and his wife Rose. Oh. We're just returning from a trip around the world. So I was pretty intimidating dinner party, I'll tell
Absolutely.
You that. It was just wonderful, though. I mean, to sit there and listen to the stories was, you know, once in a lifetime. Anyway, so that's kind of the short.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right. That's basically what I was. I was kind of a stunned fly on the wall. Yeah. Didn't have much to say.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you're still doing a lot of theater.
Yeah. I did American Buffalo last year. Got the best production 2013 LA Times, and David Mamet came to see it a couple times and loved it, and we had a great run, wonderful production. Ron Eldard and Freddie Rodriguez and myself, and Randall Arney, who used to be a Steppenwolf member, is now the artistic director at the Geffen Playhouse, and he directed it, and it was pretty damn good.
Now, how do you, because you seem super busy, how do you, like, decide, like, oh, you know, it's, do you get, like, some sort of an itch and say, it's time for me to do a show, a play, or like,
oh,
how do you decide?
Well, it's just, that was the role. Yeah. That was a role of a lifetime,
sure.
Right there. I mean, you know, it's an American classic, and I hadn't done it, knew it well, had never seen a production of it. And didn't want to see a production of it. I couldn't even watch the Dennis Franz, Dustin Hoffman version of that. It was just horrible.
Right.
And, you know, not for anybody's fault, but I mean, it just was ill-conceived.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it was, you know, and it's like the play before that was Art. Not Art, A Number, a Carol Churchill play that we did in San Francisco, the West Coast premiere of that play with Josh Charles, and I did it. It was a two-hander, a very, very, very difficult but wonderful play by Carol Churchill. It's about a man who's got a son, and he cloned him.
Oh, wow.
And he's visited by his real son and two of the clones, played by the same actor, Josh Charles. So it was kind of fun.
Do you have anything on the books scheduled?
Well, I do. I'm going to be doing Ted 2 September in Boston. And then I'm doing The Last Ship. I was on last night. My character just was introduced last night. I'm the father of the captain of the ship, Eric Bain's Eric Dane's father, and I'll be in the next season's episodes.
I'm an actor as well. I don't know if you knew that, but what's your advice to actors? I'm sure you get that all the time.
Well, you know, it depends on the actor. Every actor needs a little bit of advice, but confidence. Work on your confidence. You don't have to be a jerk to be confident. You can be, know your lines, give it your best shot. When you audition, try not to be distracted, stay focused, and have fun. And there are people, just remember the people that want to hire you are your friends, and they're there because they're looking for people like you. And it's not always the best actor that gets the role. It's the right actor who gets the role, the appropriate actor for the role. And that's determined not by you. So all you can do is do your best and have fun and keep plugging.
Nice. Hey, man, thank you so much. The talking to you has made my day. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. And I'll look for you on The Last Ship and Ted 2.
Yeah. Right. Thanks. Enjoy the movie. It's really a fun ride.
I will. Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. Terrific movie.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Right, thanks again.
Thanks, Lance.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.